Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we journey through the book of Acts and learn that true faith leads to action. Now, let's hear what Kurt has to say.
Welcome back, each and every one of you, to today's episode of Everyday Truth. So appreciative of your just desire to grow in grace and to learn more about the Word of God. Hey, as the new year is upon us here, let's be sharing the Word. Let's get the Word out to others that this podcast exists, and it's a way for people to be in the Bible every single day. If this has been a blessing to you, then I know it'll be a blessing to somebody else. I don't say a whole lot about it, but with the passing of this year and now a new year, it's just a good time for us to be thinking about others getting involved in a helpful study like this. Anyway, we're in Acts chapter 20 and verse 31, where the Apostle Paul is kind of finishing this important final word to the Ephesian elders. And he says in verse 31, as he kind of gets to the concluding thoughts of his message, he says, Therefore, watch, be on guard, be vigilant. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. I'm going to go ahead and stop there, John, because that's kind of a standalone verse. So the Apostle Paul said, hey, I want you all, if you go back to the last episode, I want you all to be watch out, take heed, wolves are coming in, I know it's going to happen. But then the Apostle Paul said, and so I want you to take heed and remember that that's what I've done for 3 years. I've watched for your souls. I've been careful to warn you. And who's going to take my place now? Who's going to grab my baton and continue to warn people about the danger?
Yeah, I love here, Pastor, so much we see the heart of Paul. He says, you know, every night and day with tears, I've been busy working. I've been warning people. I've been pouring my hearts into people. We talked about a few episodes ago how that at the beginning of this whole message, Paul gave them his resume and said, here's why you should listen up. Here's, you know who I am. Pay attention. And now he goes back after he's given them the stern warning. He goes back and says, you see my example. As you mentioned, he has seen my example. I have had tears. I've been praying. He has a heart for the people. He wants to see them succeed.
And that word warn, it just really helps us to understand just the urgency of the Word of God, that whole admonishing side of ministry, John. Because when the Word of God is a warning, what that implies is, okay, this is something you need to know so that you can think differently and behave differently, because if you don't, then this could happen. So a warning is to say, hey, there is a good reason to make application today of the word that I'm giving you.
And I think of the verse we find in Proverbs twice, actually. The prudent man foreseeth evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. And Paul is trying to give them something to heed. Hey, if you're prudent, listen to this warning sign. Pay attention to this. Do what I'm telling you, or it's not going to go well in your life. And God does the same thing in our lives today, Pastor. You're right, with his word as we hear it preached today.
When the Bible talks about child rearing in Ephesians 6 and Colossians 4, and obviously other passages, Hebrews chapter 12, when the Bible talks about child rearing, it's interesting. Two major concepts are introduced. One, nurture, and then admonition. So word training and character training are both important in child rearing. And that word admonition, so in rearing children, we want to show them that here's what the Word of God says, and there are consequences, negative consequences, when we don't obey. So the whole idea of training and then disciplining as an ally for training, as parents, as grandparents, as people that teach children, is to demonstrate to them that the Word of God is non-negotiable. And it's not a take it or leave it proposition, or, you know, if I don't get around to it, if I don't obey it, there's nothing, no big deal. No, it is a big deal.
It is a big deal, Pastor. And as you to go with what you talked about with parents and child rearing, one place, as you mentioned, that children learn about God's authority is by parental authority. You know, if parents are just, you know, they don't really enforce anything, they just are very permissive, then children will get the idea authority doesn't matter that much. But when parents give the idea authority does matter, then children can relate that to God, that yes, God's authority matters, and my parents want me to do what is right to help me in my life be what I need to be.
Oh, that's so, so very true. Verse 32, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them which are sanctified." So these are the words of the illustration here is like the words of a dying saint, a dying dad, who has all of his heirs that are gathered around him to say, okay, now here's what I'm going to bequeath to you. And the Apostle Paul doesn't have any money to give them. He didn't have any physical possessions. But he says, guys, let me commend you to God. I'm leaving, but God's staying. And let me say that what you really need is his word, the word of his grace. It's going to help you to have a desire and the ability to do his will. It's going to be able to build you up. It's going to give you every good thing that will last for all of eternity. I leave you the God whom I've introduced to you, and I leave you the word by which I've communicated to you.
Yeah, I think what a great inheritance he passes on to them. We all know people who have inherited large sums of money and just ruined their lives. Money is not always happiness. Often money causes us to not to be happy, frankly. But Paul has a great inheritance. Says, I want to give you this, and I want you can thrive if you will follow what I've given you.
Yeah, what a heart the Apostle Paul had. I find a very similar language in 2 Timothy as the Apostle Paul is writing to another Ephesian elder, Timothy himself, and saying, you know, Timothy, I'm leaving. I fought my fight. I finished my course. And yet he emphasized, but from a child, you've known the Holy Scriptures, and they're able to make thee wise unto salvation. All Scripture is given by inspiration. It's the way by which the man of God is built up, truly furnished unto all good works. In other words, Paul said, I'm leaving, Timothy, but God's not going anywhere. And Timothy, I'm leaving, but the word of God is still your resource.
It is interesting in this message alone in Acts 20 that we've read the last few episodes, how much Paul refers to the word of God and teaching the word of God. The word of God is essential in our life. And that's one thing about this podcast, you know, Everyday Truth. We're getting into the word of God, and God wants us to thrive by being in his word and podcasts, reading ourselves in churches. We cannot be successful for God without being people of his word.
What you do with the Bible, my friends, determines what God does with you. It's so very true. Paul testifies in verse 33 by saying, I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. In other words, I want you to know that my motive has always been to give you what is true and valuable. I've not been in the ministry for what I can get out of the ministry. I've not been here to build my ministry or to somehow profiteer off of my spiritual gifts. He said the same thing, by the way, to the Corinthians. He said the same thing to the Thessalonians. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands, I think when he said that, he held his hands up in front of them. These hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. In other words, the Apostle Paul said, and to prove it, you know, I wasn't here taking special love offerings for my needs. I was simply saying, hey, I'll take care of myself. He was bivocational for a season. Priscilla and Aquila were with him in Ephesus. What a testimony.
And I think of Paul, how he works for himself, but also to help those around him. He helps prepare even his team. He helps supply their needs. Paul does have a heart for ministry, and he does what he needs to do to be able to minister.
And all of what he just said is encapsulated in what he firmly believed about the Lord Jesus Christ's testimony. Because he said in verse 35, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring, in other words, following my example, ye ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. It's interesting because there's no place in the Gospels that I read Jesus saying those exact words. But those words were so so axiomatic, so self-evident about the ministry of Jesus, that Paul said, hey, just this is what Jesus taught. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Let's live that way.
And I think how Christ epitomized this so much. You know, he even came to give his life. The very reason he came was to give himself a ransom for us. Christ invested his life, shed his life. He gave, shed his blood. He gave his life for us. Paul has been given his life for them. And the principle is this: if we're willing to really die for somebody, we're gonna help their physical needs. We're gonna meet their physical needs. And John deals with this a lot in 1 John chapter 3, 16 and following. It talks about how that we need to be willing to give. That when we give, we are being like Christ.
The most rewarding things you've done in your life are the things that you have labored, you've invested, you've worked. It's like the mom that spends time preparing for Thanksgiving and puts the pie together and the meal and lovingly decorates and can't wait for the brood to come home. And at the end of Thanksgiving, yeah, this one might talk about a great football game and that one might talk about how much he ate or how good the apple pie was. But there's a certain satisfaction and blessing that only mom has for what she invested. It is always more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. How special. They had just a little prayer meeting right there by the dock. I can picture others looking on, like, what's going on over there? As they're just loosing their grip on this world, as they're all looking heavenward, and they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him. And so they just the raw emotion of hugs and kisses and goodbyes. And these are our ministry team members that are seeing each other for the last time.
This is a precious moment to me, Pastor. I read this. You just see the heart of Paul, as we mentioned a number of times now, his heart for them, his love for them, their love for him. They love Paul. He's been with them. He's been their mentor in many cases. And now you find this time of saying goodbyes that just really touches your heart.
And, well, let me read the last verse and I'll make one last comment. But the Bible says they were sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. Now, that's what he said at the beginning of the message in verse 25. And they accompanied him onto the ship. They went as far as they could possibly go to say goodbye. You know, Paul said some really important spiritual things, and I'm sure that they took time to reflect upon these things. Obviously, Luke has chronicled them. They were able to read and regurgitate kind of what Paul had said. And no doubt these words became a great template for them in ministry. But in this moment, all they heard was, this is the last time we're going to see him. In this moment, they couldn't process anything beyond, we love you and we're going to miss you.
This is a touching scene, and it's good for us sometimes to put ourselves in our mind, what would this have been like? You know, sometimes it's easy to just read through the Bible and miss the emotion of the Bible, but as we pay attention, we find emotion all throughout the Word of God. Mm-hmm. And here, a great time of emotion of these people that love Christ together. They're saying their goodbyes, and we all can relate to what's happening here, but we find the genuine Christian love between these believers.
And you might be thinking, my friends, well, I don't have that kind of emotion at my church, or I don't have that kind of emotion among my church family. But I think the emotion is a byproduct of the investment. And these are men and women that hazarded their lives. They worked together day after day after day, that were in the yoke, laboring, working, loving, serving. And that emotion was an indicator of the investment. And I guess my question to you and me would be, if we find ourselves a little bit listless in our emotion toward our church, toward our church family, toward our church leadership, could it be that the investment might be lacking? Again, I'm not making a judgment call. I'm just saying, let that be food for thought for you. Well, I hope you have a great day, my friends. Appreciate you joining us. And we're looking forward to starting a brand new chapter next episode. Hope you have a great day in the Lord. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.